Hi again, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and the Lord has curtailed me here, got me on another path for a while, reading some of the literature that I've written in the past, and some of it will be new to you. And I think it's real good that the Lord has me doing this, because so many of you people are spending hours on the road, commuting back and forth to work and to your house, and you'll be able to hear this literature that is saving millions of souls throughout the world. A lot of people don't have time to read, and some of this literature looks a little bit long, but we're doing it in increments so that it isn't so it can hold your attention. And it has to do with your immortal life. It has to do with the things that are happening here on earth today, and it's real necessary for you to know where all the problems are coming from. The Bible says for us that we need to know our enemy. He says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. How can we resist the devil if we don't know who he is, who he's using here on earth to cause all the thick, crazy things that are going on earth? And I've identified him, and I know how he works, and I know from where he comes and exactly what he's doing. And there's no way that he can deceive me, because I have the Holy Spirit, and the Lord talks to me. I talk to him, and he talks to me, and I know where Satan is, because when the Lord tells me something, I read it in his word. I know that the Lord never contradicts himself. And so when he tells me what's happening, and then I see it in his word, I know that that's the Lord. All right, now we also have several letters here this evening. So before we start, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to pour out his anointing spirit on this tape. And Lord, that you take over this message. Let whatever it is that you want to say be said. Lord, we ask that this happens. That this occurs, that you do this to strengthen the church, and to that millions of souls, hundreds of millions of them, billions of them, will hear the good news, the gospel, and repent and become, as we are, members of your corporate body, the church, the true church of the Lord. Not a religion, but the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From Andhra Pradesh, South India.
Okay.
Dear Brother Alamo, greetings to you in the almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your newsletters and powerful booklet, The Messiah. It is very helpful to my spiritual life. I am distributing your newsletters to young friends because they are very important to building the Lord's kingdom. Please send more newsletters and The Messiah. I am praying for your ministry. God bless you abundantly. Brother, I entreat you to please send Tony Alamo Christian Ministries t-shirt extra large size. It is very useful to my ministry. I am waiting for your literature and t-shirt. Your sister in Christ, Ravathi, from Kanuru, Andhra Pradesh, South India.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray for her too. Father, bless her and the ministry, and let her be the whatever you want her to be. I'm sure you want her, that she's you called her to win souls, and I believe that's what she's doing. We give the shirts away, the t-shirts and sweatshirts away, to those that are distributing literature in different parts of the world. And they have our logo on it, and people really like them. So if you're a distributor, you know, write in or call in, and we'll, or email us or fax us, and we'll send you. One, just tell us what size you are. Okay, the next letter, please.
It's an email from Johannesburg, South Africa. It says, good day, my brothers. I need to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in your ministry. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. That was short and sweet. Well, let's do it. Amen. Okay, next.
Then this next one's from Africa, Ghana, Africa. Brethren, it is wonderful and amazing here since I received your newsletters and literature for distribution. More refugees are rushing to me for these materials. The 6 Bibles received from you were given away to reliable persons that are now studying with me. In this refugee camp, refugees are looking for God to solve their problems, such as food, medication, clothing, and spiritual problems. The question always asked is, what must I do to be saved? How can I grow spiritually? Are there specific ways, methods to be used to contact God or His angels?
All you have to do is just, you want to contact the angels, because there's one mediator to the throne of God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. All you need to do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the entire Word of God. So when the Bible tells you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that means believe on the entire Word of God and thou shalt be saved. You say, well, what do I have to do? Wait until I learn the whole Word of God? No. If you agree that the Word of God is true, because all the signs and wonders that are occurring in the world today, all the plagues and pestilence, everything, the tsunamis, the earthquakes, the floods, the fires, are happening. These earthquakes are just devastating all over the world. Some days they say there are 10,000 actual earthquakes in the world today. So these are end-time prophecies. And we know that the Word of God is true because these signs are happening. Praise the Lord. Now what else?
Brethren, you need to send someone here in person to help us. People here are in a search for God. Send us 100 Bibles, 100 assorted pieces of literature, and 100 spiritual books.
So we don't have to be there. Just the Word of God. If they just come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to enter into your heart, and you'll be saved. Have Him wash you. Ask Him to wash all your sins away in the precious blood that He shed for you on the cross at Calvary. And He will. And ask Him to enter in with His Father by the Spirit, and He will. And that's how you meet the Lord. And then you just read Jesus, the whole Word of God, and you'll get stronger and more powerful until you realize that staying in the church, the true church of the Lord, not a religion, will bring you to the fullness of the stature of Christ. We only become full when we all congregate together in the congregation of the children of the Lord. Okay, and then what?
Please send us used clothing, eyeglasses, and used sewing machines to help the vulnerable women who want to be self-reliant.
That would help, you know, if you brothers and sisters in Radio Land would pitch in. We have their addresses and everything, and if you just send in help, you know, we'll send it right to them. They don't want to sponge off of anyone. They want to work. They want to help themselves, so let's pitch in and help. If it's all used clothes, they'll even probably stitch them up. Now, I know that we had a whole bunch of Levi's that had little rips in them and everything. Tell them to box those up and send them over there. And some sewing machines, if we can find some. If you look around, you can find sewing machines for $10 to $25 a piece, and we could just load up a whole container of them and a bunch of clothes and just send it over. These jeans are brand new, and they just have little impediments in them. We'll just put them in a big old box and send them over. Okay, and then what else?
I thank you for the spiritual materials you sent for the free distribution. In God we trust, yours in Christ, John, from Accra, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord, Brother John. Okay, now next, where's that?
From Andhra Pradesh, India. Our beloved Pastor Tony Alamo in Christ, hearty, humble greetings to you all there in the precious name of our coming Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, I am very glad I met you and your great ministries. Really, you are a great man of God. I appreciate you and your ministries. Every day I go with your gospel literature, knocking on every door, giving them literature and praying for them. I have been distributing your gospel literature at bus stands, railway stations, market yards, hospitals, etc. People are receiving the literature. Some are studying and knowing about Jesus Christ. Some others are criticizing Jesus. Whatever it may be, I am doing the ministry. Our activities are evangelism, literature distribution, and social welfare service. Here we have to do more and more gospel ministry because Jesus is coming soon. Yesterday I distributed your soul-winning literature to the people who are traveling in autos, buses, cars, etc. So many people received your literature and are studying them, knowing about Jesus Christ, and accepting Jesus as their own personal Savior. Your literature is very helpful to go forward in the ministry. I need your daily prayers and kind suggestions. Please send me all your literature, cassettes, clothing, etc. We are praying for you, your sacred family, and your great ministry in the world. Please pray for me, my family, our needs, and ministries. I am waiting for your kind letter and mercy in him. Thanking you, your brother in Christ, George, from Andhra Pradesh, India.
All right, make sure that we thank him for the letter, and we need to put this letter in our newsletters and send him a copy of this tape to show him that we've read his letter on the air. And anybody out there that can help these people that really want to get the gospel out, let us know, because we've got literally thousands of distributors of the literature, and the price of mailing overseas is astronomical, but we're still doing it. But this ministry is now, it's just exploding, and it's exploding all over the world, and we really need some of you people. If you're secretaries, or if you know how to help out in the ministry, you might be disgruntled with some other ministry. We sure need you over here if you are, and we provide a house for you and or a living facility, something for you to live in, and we appreciate you very much if you can. Lord, we pray for laborers, because the time is short and the harvest is ripe. Amen?
Amen.
All right, where's the next one from?
From the Democratic Republic of Congo, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Olamo, after having read your newsletters and the Messiah book, I believe that the power of God is in you. I affirm that you are the man who is the mentor I need for the progress of my ministry and for the great knowledge in God's work. If you would want to, I am requesting that you let me be your child in the faith, even though I am already a pastor, and I want your supervision in the ministry. I am living in the Democratic Republic of the Congo at Kinshasa. I am married and have a daughter. I am the leader of two churches with 250 members. I truly need your supervision for a greater knowledge in the Word of God. I believe that my request is going to hold your attention. Please receive my love in Jesus Christ, your son and brother, Pastor Jean. That was translated from French.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a very humble man, and I really appreciate help from other pastors. If they have seen something from the Lord, or they have a word of wisdom that they can give me, I appreciate it very much. And I love it when pastors are this humble, where they say, you know, you've got a lot from the Lord, and we'd like to know it, and we'd love to study the things that the Lord has given you. It certainly isn't any knowledge that I had. I was a most ignorant person to God and his ways before I was saved 41 years ago. And I know that it isn't me, it's the Lord that taught me all the things I know. And of course I studied. It didn't come to me just out of the blue. A lot of the vision, signs, and wonders has come to me just without me seeking them at all. But, and a lot of the revelations that Lord has given me have come right out of the blue, but I really study, and that's where I get a lot, and I sometimes get many things from different pastors that write in, and I appreciate people that are humble enough to say, look, we'd like to know what the Lord has shown you, and I'd love to learn what the Lord has shown you too, because the minute we stop learning, brother, sister, we're dead. Amen. We're going to become very stupid if we think that we know it all. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so that's it. And let's now, this is the part of the program that we get into part 12 of Another Pearl Harbor. All right.
How wicked of the world system and the media to watch the people that God created out of the dirt of the ground walking around with cardboard shoes when there was plenty of leather.
This is talking about World War II, when the big hype on The government decided that it was the right thing to do is to make the people of the United States of America to really believe they're in war and that they want to get this war fought and won. And let's go over and kill the Japs, let's kill the Germans, so we can get this over with. And so they took the butter away from us. I remember when I was living in Lewistown, Montana, which is one of the big dairy belts in Montana, we were at a bingo parlor. I was just a little kid, and I don't know how I got there, but I think I was with my mother or somebody, and they had for a prize this one cube of butter, and everybody was just really buying all kinds of bingo cards to get it. And it was in the newspaper that one man traded his brand new car for, I think it was three or four pounds of butter. About 5 pounds of butter, and he gave a whole car for it. And here we're in the dairy belt, and you could go to a farmer and tell him, look, man, make me some butter. And they were so afraid, because they said they'd take their farms away from them and everything if they would give anybody butter, because we want to really make sure that everybody feels the sting of this war. And I just think that's horrible, okay, to deprive the United States people, the people of this government, of their freedoms that they're doing today, and also depriving them of butter and beef and nylons and whatever, all the different things they held back, shoes. What else?
I found out later in life that it was to make people feel that they should get the war over quickly. This lie was from the mind of some demon-possessed monster. I don't smoke. The Lord told me He didn't make the frail human body to endure smoke. Tobacco farmers were paid not to grow tobacco crops, or to only grow enough so that the boys overseas could have cigarettes, as well as the elite throughout the world.
Yeah, so they could smoke and be shot at the same time. And then what?
If anyone else was found selling these things, they received a fine or a prison sentence. Nylon stockings were not available for women because the government and the propagandists said they needed the nylon material to make parachutes. Lucky Strike cigarettes used to have green packages, but they stopped using green. Their motto was, Lucky Strike Green has gone to war. They said they needed the green paint for camouflage. Ridiculous. There are so many lies. Who knows if Bin Laden is alive or not? Again, Stanley Hilton, an attorney at law, stated in the San Francisco Examiner that he has evidence which proves Bin Laden died several years ago of kidney failure. As I said before, the people of Satan have fun deceiving the people of the world. One might wonder if Saddam Hussein is still alive.
Right. Well, I've heard a lot of government officials say that the average person in America is just a bunch of cattle, and it's so easy to deceive them. They say they're so utterly stupid, and my God, that's just horrible to talk about the people of the United States of America, the people that you're supposed to be serving, to call them cattle and stupid. This is like Nazi Germany talk that you hear emanating out of Rome from the Vatican. It's like they just think every one of us are a bunch of bugs under their feet to be stamped on. You know, we're just a bunch of creeps. And just tell us anything and herd us into one war after the other and herd us into one ridiculous satanic rule after another. And let's pray for those people that they'll get saved. I mean, the Lord is coming back so soon. All the signs are before us right now, and we don't need to be put on more trips. It's time that everybody hears the truth, and that's why God called me, is to tell you the truth. He knows that ever since my wife Susie died, that I didn't care whether I lived or died or not. Susie always used to tell me to hold back, you know, don't tell people that, and the Lord took her out of the way, and the Lord just told me, just be yourself. Just tell the people, you have the truth, you have the pure truth, you know my word, and don't back off, because I'll take your life if you do. And that's why I'm on the horn here telling you what's going on, all right? And the Lord has shown me the things that are happening in the world today, and he thinks you ought to know, all right? Then I do too. Okay, let's go.
Were there shortages? For sure the answer is no. The dairy farmers were frightened to death by the government to the point where they wouldn't sell you a pound of butter. These things were happening when I was living in Lewistown in Fergus County, which was in the dairy belt of Montana.
Now, come to find out that, they say now that butter's no good for you, and the dairy products today are no good for you because, and beef, and so, actually, we were better off, amen?
Amen.
So, the devil got fooled. Here I am, 71, the picture of health. Most people think I'm not a day over 45 years old or 50, and I feel good, except when I only get about 2 or 3 hours sleep. You understand, I'm sure. Amen. Okay, then what?
There was an article in the newspaper stating that a man gave a brand new car to a farmer for 5 pounds of butter because he couldn't get butter in the stores and he craved it so much. People who lived in Montana and other parts of the United States at that time will remember these things very well. Thousands upon thousands of barges full of beef, cigarettes, leather hides, nylon material, butter, cheese, chocolate, and hundreds of other items were dumped into the sea. When my late wife Susan worked at the Los Angeles Examiner newspaper as a reporter, as well as working as the procurer of talent on the Paul Coates television program, some American government officials told her these actions were to make the American people feel more like they were at war.
Right, but that show, Paul Coates, was similar to a Joe Pine or like a Larry King type show, where only it was more rough than Larry King. It was like they'd throw different people on. They even had Bonnie, you've heard of Bonnie and Clyde, well, they had Bonnie's brother on. Susie went to the train station and picked him up to be on the Paul Coates show. To talk about Bonnie and Clyde and what his position was in their gang. And she did things like that. And she really knew a lot of the underworld because that was one of her jobs, you know, is to find out people that were in the underworld and see if she could talk them into coming on the show. And they do exposés and things like that. And they had another show like that called Joe Pine. And some of you people probably remember those shows. They were pretty hot items in that day. They were very controversial, almost like these shows entitled Current Affair and America's Most Wanted and stuff like that. All right, so let's keep going.
When my late wife, Susan, worked at the Los Angeles Examiner newspaper as a reporter, as well as working as the procurer of talent on the Paul Coates television program, some American government officials told her these actions were to make the American people feel more like they were at war and make them more determined to kill the Germans and Japanese. Then they could have their leather shoes, Hershey's bars, nylon stockings, and all the other things that I mentioned.
Right, just kill the Germans and Japs and you'll get your candy bars. Okay, and your cigarettes and your shoes, and you can have a nice beefsteak then. But you're not going to have them until you kill Tojo and Tokyo Rose and Hitler and all the others, and Mussolini. You know, whatever happened to Tokyo Rose? Oh, how I miss those old radio shows, was a song that one of my friends wrote in Nashville. A bizarre song, I might add. Then what?
All these things were done right here in the United States by Rome's New World Order, which had infiltrated the American government in the same manner as they had infiltrated the German government, the Japanese government, and every other government in the world. In speaking of the secret order of the Jesuits, a branch of the Roman cult, Harper's Weekly in May 21, 1870, said, quote, "The operations of this powerful society, bracket the city of the Jesuits, and bracket, embrace every part of the world, and are carried on by means of the most intricate machinery ever contrived by man." Unquote. Susan's ex-husband, Saul Lipowitz, a professional prize fighter, worked for the Pipefitters Union as an enforcer. His job was to beat people up if they crossed the picket line to work when the union members were on strike. During the periods of time when there were no union strikes, her ex-husband, Saul, was recruited by certain government agencies to help dump hundreds of barges full of fresh beef, Hershey's bars, butter, cigarettes, and all the other items that I mentioned into the ocean. This shows a giant-sized world conspiracy. This also shows that they believe without a doubt that the people in not only the United States, but the world are stupid idiots, naive, and easily deceived. They call them cattle. Again, as God's word puts it, Satan, quote, deceiveth the whole world, unquote, and with such stupidity. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9.
Well, I didn't have to worry because I didn't wear nylons anyway. And, I didn't smoke, but I sure didn't like wearing those cardboard shoes. That really ticked me off. Okay, then what? Especially with all the beef cattle around Montana where I was raised. All right, then what else?
When my late wife Susan worked for the newspaper and the television program in Los Angeles, many people in the know would give her news items, which Rome's media and press would not allow to be televised or printed. They all told her the same story regarding the barges and the corruption in the government and the media. The Los Angeles Police Department beat Susan's former husband almost to death. They left him for dead in an alley after they beat him with baseball bats because he knew too much regarding the corruption in the government, the media, the propagandists, the district attorney's office, the police department, and the sheriff's department. While Saul was in General Hospital, presumed to be dying from the multiple baseball bat fractures to his head, Sue had to pull his tongue out of his throat because he swallowed it. She said she despised him because he was so antichrist, but she knew what the Lord said about loving your enemy. When he became conscious, he told her it was the police department that did it because of the things he had told her and others. The editor of the Los Angeles Examiner, which is now closed, told Sue that the police wanted to kill her too. She went to Brother Smith's Christian retreat called Mountain Home for a month of fasting and prayer. She prayed for God to show her when the danger was over, and the Lord sent an actual dove when it was over. The brutal beating that Sue's ex-husband received did not kill him. Several years later, after Sue and I were married, he repeatedly attempted to break up our services by making noises outside the windows and by being a general nuisance. Just days after this, while a friend of his was driving him to the Pipefitters Union to pick up his paycheck, an automobile heading in the opposite direction jumped four freeway lanes and the divider, smashing into the car he was riding in and killing them both. I'm sure the
bad... killed the driver and Saul Lipowitz. It cut the driver right in half, and Saul, a prize fighter, got his head bashed in and was killed right there. Then what?
I'm sure the Vatican didn't arrange that. Sounds like the hand of God did. The driver's funeral was held in a Catholic mortuary, and her ex-husband's funeral was held at Utter McKinley's funeral home on Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood, California. Can you imagine how ashamed and frightened out of their wits everyone shall be when they stand before the throne of God at the time of judgment? Are you easily fooled? Do you not believe I'm telling you the truth? If you do not believe I'm telling you the truth, you make the devil and Rome very happy. They are sitting on a spiritual fence, clapping their hands and sticking out their tongues at you. The devil is pinning medals on the breasts of the propagandists, the members of the Vatican, the Beast, the news media, and the press for having done such an excellent job of deceiving you. Satan is satisfied now that you have allowed him to consume you through pornography, alcohol, drugs, etc. By doing this, he has consumed God out of you. He has consumed your children, as he has you, by making it easy to bring drugs into the country for them. He has consumed your country, your government, your industry, your economy, your media, your press, your schools, and everything else with his false prophets, those who spread false messages stating that God is only love and that he wants you to lay up treasures here on earth instead of heaven. What has happened to you? If you could only see your spiritual self in God's mirror. Have these things ever happened before in the United States or the world? Has there ever been a one-world government run by Satan and Rome, the cult, its media, and its press? A one-world government which blasphemes God by printing the abominable statements of the Pope and the hierarchy of Rome? They are teaching people to blaspheme God and his people, and stating that the members of Christ's body are brainwashing people when in actuality, God's people are preaching the truth of Christ. Satan, the Vatican in Rome, the Vatican's world government, and its worldwide propagandists are the ones who brainwash people, or rather, brain damage people by dirtying their minds. The prophet Joel speaks of these last days by asking the elders, our great-grandfathers and grandmothers, and all those before them, quote, "Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers?"
Has anything like this ever happened 50 years ago or 100 years ago? Never. Never did. Nor did all these plagues and all these diseases exist. The Lord is sending them on earth. Then what? They're plagues. And the whole, this is nothing in comparison to what is yet to come. Then what?
Bracket, the answer is no, exclamation mark, and bracket. Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation, unquote. Joel chapter 1, verse 2 through 3. These statements have been in the Bible for centuries. A generation is approximately 51 years and 3 or 4 months. We're at the end of the last generation of time. God told me to tell you and the rest of the world the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth about the devil, including where he is from, what he is doing in the world today, and what he's been doing ever since the Garden of Eden.
He's going to and fro and seeking whom he can devour. I pray that it's not you. Then what else?
Joel chapter 1 verse 4 also tells us that false prophets have done away with the truth of God's word and have made people believe that God is not, quote, "the same yesterday and today and forever," unquote. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. The Holy Spirit gave Joel metaphors of wicked men who deleted the word of God. The metaphors were worms and insects, such as the palmer worm, the locusts, the canker worm, and the caterpillar. Each one of them took a certain portion of the word of God away from the people of the world. Any minister, or anyone else for that matter, who tells you these worms are not symbolic of the Vatican, the Pope in Rome, and his puppets is lying to you. They are either members of Satan's body or those who are so deceived that they are Satan's workers. They desperately need to read and receive the word of God so they can be saved. But God said he would raise up an army, Joel's army, created of the strongest believers in God of all time. These overcomers would give their entire being unto God. They are individuals who will be as Jesus likened himself to be, a corn of wheat who died out to his humanity so that the divine nature of him could break through his brokenness and raise many others who would also be as himself.
God raises up humans, and he also raises up locusts to destroy the things that people would like to eat. And he has raised up hornets to chase the giants out of the Holy Land when the people of Israel were too afraid to attack the giants. God ran them out with a little tiny insect, hornets. Then what else?
Then they too would become grains of wheat dropped into the soil so that their outer man could be broken and the life of God, the Spirit of God could rise up in them in Christ's resurrection. Then God's Spirit, mingled with theirs, could flow out from them to the world in these last minutes of time, bringing forth many others worthy enough for God to both live in and work in. They are the ones who God has called in these last days to restore the true Word of God to the world. These would be called, quote, the sons of God, unquote, John chapter 1, verse 12. Their will is to do only that which their Father in Christ would have them do in Christ in them. There are still many people in the world system who shall be saved. Otherwise, God would not have said, quote, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. Now it's the end of the world, and what are you going to do about it? The things that are going on in this world are far beyond our human ability to figure out. We can only know what's going on by reading the Word of God. The Word of God explains everything. God tells us that if the enemy is attempting to terrorize you through his army of satanic men, your only way to have victory is to first get saved and keep God's commandments, then to pray to God to avenge you of the things they are doing to you. Many people forget these things in a time of trouble. You must train yourself to trust God and no one else. This is the only way that God has provided for his children to have victory over the many wolves in this world. He said, quote, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Unquote, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. This wiseness means that you trust God to hear you, answer you, and deliver you. God says, quote, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Unquote. Psalm 50, verse 15. He will, just as he delivered the Jews who prayed to him and asked him to intervene in the days of Moses and in the days of Hezekiah. When the army of Sennacherib surrounded the city of Jerusalem, they were greatly outnumbered. God sent one angel who destroyed 185,000 of God's enemies and the enemies of Israel. In the morning, the enemies of God and his people were all dead corpses. God will do the same for all of his people. But remember, we must ask him to do it. God says, quote, ask and ye shall receive, unquote. John chapter 16, verse 24. We must learn to trust wholly in God and not at all in any device of our own, such as any carnal weapon. If we bomb our enemy instead of praying to God for deliverance, we're going to get bombed ourselves, because, quote, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, unquote. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Quote, all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword, unquote. Matthew chapter 26, verse 52. I take this to mean that those who live by bombs, chemical warfare, germ warfare, or any other carnal warfare shall die by bombs, chemical warfare, germ warfare, and any other carnal warfare. Again, God said, quote, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord, unquote. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Again, remember that God, quote, is terrible to the kings of the earth, bracket and every other wicked person, unquote. Psalm 76, verse 12. Why should it be a hard thing to trust in God when the entire universe is hanging in space by God's Spirit, which is the same as God's hand or his mighty and incredibly powerful arm? If everyone would repent as Nineveh repented under Jonah's preaching, God would spare us. If you feel that you've gone too far, God says, quote, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, unquote. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Hear the voice of Jonah, repent. Each king and each president should get themselves into sackcloth and ashes, as the king of Nineveh did, and repent of their sins. They should become soldiers of the Lord, then pray to God to take vengeance upon the devil and his works. He will hear any one of you who will follow his instructions, and he will also answer your prayers. You will see him do this before your very eyes, as he said he will. He said, quote, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me," unquote, Psalm 50, verse 15. Carnal men study carnal war. Spiritual men study spiritual war. The bottom line for spiritual war is to call upon God to do the warring for us. The Lord's soldiers believe in God's power to defeat their enemies for them. Only this warfare is legal. There shall soon come a day where everyone in heaven will not study war anymore. Nor shall the people in hell study war anymore, because the war will be over. We in heaven have already won the war. Those in hell have lost the war. Believe God. He hates the evil in this world and wants to destroy it. But he wants us to hate the evil in this world enough to call upon him to do it. All those who believe in evil secularism are in more trouble than they want to be. Trust me on this one. As you see, God is not a God of love to the wicked. God hates them, and there's nothing they can do about the way he feels about them unless they repent of the evil things they are doing. God wants me to tell every true member of Christ's body to unite to God with me as a mighty army of priestly prayer warriors. We are to rise up together in prayer to God, as Enoch, Noah, and the entire nation of Israel did on many occasions when they needed God's help. We are especially to do so as the prophets, apostles, and Jesus, the chief cornerstone of the building of God, did. If we do, God will destroy the destroyer. That is, he will destroy all those who are killing and imprisoning millions of innocent people just because they want to monopolize the condemned world. Their evil souls enjoy doing this, even though their insane minds know their time is short. God told me that he will soon destroy everyone involved, including those who refuse to repent from blaspheming God, blaspheming God's word, and blaspheming God's people. The psalmist David was a great warrior because he was always meditating on God's word and because he was always praying to God in heaven. He prayed to God in Psalm 69, verse 4, "Lord, you avenge me of my enemies because they," quote, "are more than the hairs of mine head," unquote. They are more than I can handle. God did it. David died peacefully in his bed. Everything today is not beyond our ability in Christ. Quote, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" unquote. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. The answer is no one. God has allowed this environment to be as it is so that we will trust only in him. He said in John chapter 15, verse 5, quote, "Without me ye can do nothing," unquote. Jesus said our wiseness will be if we, quote, "pray always," unquote, and added that he will do the avenging, Luke chapter 21, verse 36. The only thing that Jesus will look for when he returns to earth is faith. He will look for those who believe in him and trust only in him. Today there are many threats among the nations. Some state that they shall blow us, the United States, off the map. Our leaders respond by saying that we will blow them off the map. We must always remember, quote, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord," unquote. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Won't you secular leaders please trust God before you all get blown to bits? If you're the right one in the eyes of God.
Blown to bits or before the Lord sends a tsunami, a hurricane, or some dreaded disease your way. All right, then what?
If you're the right one in the eyes of God, he will destroy your enemies. But if you ignore God and try to do it yourself, he will destroy you too. God wants to have the fun. He wants to destroy the evil ones. He sits in the heavens and laughs when he does it. Read Psalm 2. If you won't repent, God will destroy you. When the entire world was almost as bad as we are today, God drowned the entire world, with the exception of Noah and his family, 8 souls. When God's children cried unto God, he destroyed Egypt. He killed their firstborn, and he drowned the entire Egyptian army. He destroyed all the evil ones in Sodom and Gomorrah, and again he killed Sennacherib's army of 185,000 men, as well as many other evil, unrepentant people. He shall soon destroy all those who refuse to repent of their sinfulness in these last days. He's going to burn this whole world up very soon. If any nation is hell-bent on destroying any other nation, God will destroy them along with the rest of the evil people. God knows how to deliver his people out of the wicked nations before he destroys them. But if the Roman infiltrators in our government falsely threaten other governments as Rome commands, and we do what Rome says, God will destroy us, but will make a way of escape for his children. God loves to destroy evil. That's what makes him good. He does not destroy those you think are evil. He destroys those he knows are evil. That's what makes God a good God. In these last days, many will believe God and be purified by the blood of Jesus. The prophet Daniel foretold of this. He said by the Holy Spirit that, quote, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, as they are doing today, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand, unquote. Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. Understand what? The deep things of God, If other nations are really going to send rockets and other weapons of mass destruction to harm innocent men, women, and children, then let's everyone pray as Hezekiah prayed. Quote, God, they are obviously wicked because they are not keeping your commandments. They want to avenge themselves rather than let you do the avenging. God, they are murderers. They want to murder, and they want to destroy the earth. They also want to murder your people, the ones you are living in, the sons of God, who are the saints. They want to murder those in the future who will believe, before they get a chance to believe, those whose names will, in the near future, be written in the book of life. Lord, you promised to hear our prayers and answer them. So, Lord, with speed, if this be the case, save their souls, or do as you did to the firstborn of Egypt and the army of Sennacherib, in the mighty name of Jesus. I know you are a God of your word. You command us to keep your word. Now, Father, you must keep your word. You must keep your promises. Your word is true, and your promises are true. So, Father, answer us now, and let us see the manifestation of that answer before our very eyes. Please do it now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. This is the prayer you want all of us to pray. And if we always pray this prayer, we who believe will have the victory. Quote, 8 shall chase 10 billion. Many men say, quote, I'm not afraid to die, unquote. However, if they're not saved, they should be afraid of that awful place, the place where they shall spend eternity. Before boasting, quote, I'm not afraid to die, unquote, you better get saved. Quote, we are only more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. One praying member of Christ's body shall, quote, chase 1,000, and 2 put 10,000 to flight, unquote. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30. If this figure is multiplied 10 times with each additional person, then 3 will chase 100,000, 4 a million, 5 10 million, 6 100 million, 7 1 billion, and 8 10 billion. Therefore, if only 8 true blood-washed, spirit-filled members of Christ's body approach the throne of God in the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, no evil person will be able to escape, because there's not even 10 billion people on earth. How much more quickly will this happen
if every member of Christ's body joins together as an army of priests and bombards the throne of God with our prayers. God will be on the move as he has never been before. Quote, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies," unquote. Psalm 18, verse 2 through 3. They won't know what hit them. They're mystery Babylon the Great, and we are the mysterious and militant body of Christ. When we pray to our Father in the name of Jesus, they won't know where all this wrath is coming from. Again, as Daniel said by the Spirit, they don't understand. They won't have time to figure it out. God will hit them suddenly. The only notice they're getting is from God's true preachers. Quote, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Unquote. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. This is because if God is with us, whether we are 2 or 8, we are more than they are. Just as the people of Egypt listened to Joseph 400 years before the time of Moses, the people of the world must listen to me. I'm telling you the truth of what God's word says, the truth that he's going to destroy many evil people soon. As God rescued Noah and his family from the deluge, as he rescued Lot and his two daughters from Sodom, as he rescued the people from Egypt and from their enemies 7 times in the book of Judges, as he rescued the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace, and as he rescued Daniel from the lion's den, he will rescue you, his people, in these last hours of time, from the destruction of the world and from the fire which shall burn the whole world up. All of us must be of, quote, "one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all," unquote. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6, so that we all can think and act as Christ. We, with Christ, must be as one, and we must move as God wants us to move. He wants us to pray for that which we desire. We must desire the salvation of souls and the destruction of Satan's kingdom. If we don't desire these things, we won't get them, because God says he only gives us, quote, "the desires of our hearts," Psalm 37, verse 4, "the desires we ask for with all of our hearts." We who are the members of Christ's body are in Scripture said to be, quote, "the fullness of Christ," unquote, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, and, quote, "the fullness of God," unquote, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. So by our being the fullness of Christ, by our being the fullness of God, and by our knowing God's word, we know the truth, which is God in Christ in us. For those of you who are not yet members of Christ's body, the fullness of Christ, the fullness of God, you need to become a member of this fullness now, so that you can help those of us who are already members of God in Christ to pray to God against the wrathful devil who's been cast down to earth, the one who wants to destroy your life, your soul, the lives of your loved ones, and their souls. Don't let the wrath of Satan, as expressed through the members of his cult, his government, and his media, frighten you or deceive you any longer. If it is the desire of your heart, then join us in prayer. God will save those who desire salvation and will destroy the wicked with their wrath. Hopefully you desire salvation. If being saved is the desire of your heart, then become a child of God now. Rise above deception, sin, Satan, the world, your flesh, death, hell, and the grave. Let Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, enter your spirit by his Spirit. Then you can begin to grow in Christ. Begin now by saying this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner.
Okay, yeah, you just say that. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. If you're in a car, park it. It's the most important moment of your life.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God.
Okay, say that. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Then what?
I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins.
Okay, I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. Then what?
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Very important that you know that. Okay, then next.
And that he sits on the right hand of God at this moment, hearing my confession of sin and this prayer. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed in my place on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will forgive my sins and save my soul. I know because your word, the Bible, says so. Your word says that you will turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And I will show my thankfulness by doing as you command and sin no more.
So just raise your hands and thank and praise the Lord. Well, that's beautiful. We just got that sinner's prayer in right at the close of this service. I see our time is up. And so that was it, part 12 of another Pearl Harbor. And we'll have another piece of literature for you tomorrow, or else we'll be doing chapter 1 of the book of Luke. We've done Matthew, Mark, and John, and I'm going to be doing Luke pretty quick here now. All right, so until tomorrow, whatever the Lord gives me for tomorrow's broadcast, make sure you tune in, because it's always good for your soul and good for you to learn the way of how to win souls. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen.